You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. It's time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Thursday, the 1st of November. It's a new month on Racing Radio, and you can join us throughout the afternoon for coverage of Lingfield, Newcastle and Wolverhampton. That's in addition to also Sedgefield, Stratford. And there's a meeting at Clonmel over in Ireland, which we'll try and fit in when we can. I say we. I'm John Gibby, presenting on Thursday as well. And I'll be with Chris Pimlott and Kevin O'Malley. But here today on the podcast, I'm with Andrew Mount. Hello, Andrew.
Greetings, John. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very impressed by the new studio we're in here. It feels more like a table than a studio.
It is a table in the middle of the office space here at William Hill Towers. I hope people are enjoying sort of the general ambient noise. It sort of feels like you're having a conversation with a mate about racing down the pub rather than the usual sort of tinny surroundings that we're in.
Yeah, I like it. Although next time we could just go down to the pub. That might be an easier way of doing it.
Yeah, I'll put that to the bosses and see what they have to say. In a minute, we'll get your selections for racing on Thursday. But we'll start off by, well, I did a couple of little bits and pieces, really. First of all, we'll talk about Duvan, who William Mullins has reported today, as we record this on Wednesday, as he found him lame the other morning, and he doesn't quite know what the issue is at this stage. Hopefully he's going to make a full recovery. Bit of a blow for the team surrounding Duvan, Mullins and the Richies here, Andrew, when they just got him back to what looked like back to full health after his injury layoff last season. It's not a great sign, is it?
No, it's a real shame. And he's only an 8-year-old, though, so he still might be able to come back. And he does seem to have been around forever, though, Duvan, doesn't he? And he actually hasn't won since February 2017, and only had the 3 runs since then, of course, falling when still travelling strongly in the Queen Mother Champion Chase behind Altior, and then that odds-on defeat to Undersow at Punchestown. So it would be nice to see him back fit and well at some point this season, but that obviously looks doubtful now.
So hopefully we'll be able to see him at some point in the upcoming season. Connections have been talking about stepping him up in trip. Obviously, mostly we've seen him racing around sort of 2-mile sort of distances so far in his career. Andrew, do you think, if we consider him at full fitness, that going over longer trips could be something that encourages us all to find a bit of improvement?
Given how exuberantly he races, I think they should stick to 2 miles or thereabouts. So I'd be very concerned about him running over longer trips.
Okay, well, that's Duvan. We'll hopefully be able to see him at some point this season. But what we're going to talk about is another National Hunt issue, and that's Paul Nicholls, of course, a yard who have had mixed fortunes over the past couple of years. Still always thereabouts as far as the Trainers' Championship is concerned, but lacking some of the leading lights, the Grade 1 horses that they have had in previous years, probably with the notable exception of Politolog. They don't have a whole lot of Grade 1 horses. But Andrew, you wanted to talk about an angle into looking at the form of this yard's horses concerning wind operations.
Yeah, because since wind ops had to be declared back in January of this year, we've gathered quite a bit of data now. And the interesting thing with Nicholls is he gives most of his horses wind ops over the summer. So last season we didn't have a very big sample size to play with. But since the ops have been declared, he's had 18 runners return after a first-time wind operation. And 8 of those have won for a profit of £18.75 to a £1 level stake. Now he's been particularly effective with the wind ops so far this autumn, with Frodon of course and the old Rowan Chase last Sunday being the best example. And that was of course over 2.5 miles. Now, what I noticed with flat horses returning for a wind op, the shorter trips seem to be the most profitable angle. Those over 5 to 7 furlongs showed a good profit. Horses running over a mile or further after the wind op showed a big loss. And there's a similar split regarding distance over the jumps as well. 2 to 2.5 miles tends to be more profitable than sort of 2 miles 6 or further. Now, Paul Nicholls has only had 9 horses return after a wind operation and run over 2 to 2.5 miles. 7 of the 9 won, and the others finished 2nd and 6th. So the last 7 runners have won under these conditions, and had we backed them blind, £27.75 profit to a £1 level stake. So keep an eye on that W1 marking next to any Paul Nicholls runners this autumn, particularly over the shorter trips, because I think they're going to continue to be profitable to back blind.
An interesting angle from Andrew there, of course, very much into to trends and stats and that sort of thing. And with that in mind, it's got us 2 selections for racing on Thursday. Of course, we always ask the pundits here on the podcast to give us 2 selections for the next day's racing. And both your picks, Andrew, they run at Lingfield.
That's right. And the first of those goes in the 1 o'clock. This is a fairly low-key event, a 10 furlong class 5 handicap. And the one I'm drawn to is the bottom weight Socian, number 11 for Richard Fahey. Now, the 3-year-old filly has hardly set the world alight to date. She's had 9 starts, has failed to register a single win. And last time out, she was only 6th at Musselburgh. But the angle here is her breeding. Now, she's by a sire called Showcasing, who's got a fantastic record on Polytrack. And had you bet this one's progeny blind at the 4 Polytrack venues, Chelmsford, Dundalk, Kempton and Lingfield, you'd have found 65 winners from 420 runners over the years, a strike rate of almost 16% and a profit of over £50 to a £1 level stake. So I'm always looking for Showcasing offspring when they switch to Polytrack. And having run well at Newcastle on her all-weather debut in June of last year, finishing 2nd by a neck at 12-1, I think that going on Polytrack for the first time could bring about a significant degree of improvement for Socian, who makes the long trip south from Richard Fahey's yard.
I'm sure you'll be glad to see then Socian, who was also declared for the 6:15 at Wolverhampton on Thursday as a non-runner in that contest, and will seemingly be taking a chance in the Lingfield race.
Yeah, she's drawn in stall 1 of 11 at Lingfield, and I think if she'd been drawn in stall 11 of 11, we might have seen her turn up at Wolverhampton instead. But yeah, they're certainly not going to give away that good draw at a track that should suit.
So that's the first pick. And the second one, you mentioned how that race is fairly run of the mill affair, but we've actually got a couple of listed races at Lingfield on Thursday, which is something to look forward to. And your other selection runs in one of those two.
That's right. This is the 2:35, a 1 mile fast track qualifier, and it's the listed Fleur-de-Lis filly stakes. And the first thing you notice about this race is how well that Willie Haggis has done in it over the years. He's had 3 winners and a place from 5 runners in the last 10 seasons, including the last 2 winners. And he's got Move Swiftly, whose sire Far is profitable to back blind on the all weather. Now, she was only beaten a neck at Newmarket last time, doing well to finish so close after coming from off the pace on a track that favours those who race up with the gallop. And you know, she's obviously going to run a good race, but that's probably going to be reflected in the market. And you know, she started as favourite for all 5 runs since making a winning debut at Chelmsford back in December. And while I expect her to go well and maybe make it 3 wins from 4 on the all weather, I'd rather side with one at a likely bigger price, and that's number 3, Lucy May for Dean Ivory. This mare is a real all-weather expert, and the 5-year-old's won 7 of her 23 starts on artificial surfaces, has rarely run on turf, 0 from 3 in that particular sphere. And she's going back onto the sand after 2 runs on turf. She ran respectably in the first of those, making the running over 7 furlongs in listed company at Ascot. Big field that day in a straight track wouldn't have suited. Next time out, she was dropped to 6 at Newmarket, and again, that was far too sharp for her, and she was also slowly away. So going back to Polytrack, she's also the pace angle in this race as well. There's no out-and-out front runner, except perhaps Lucy May, and from stall 7 under Jack Dern, I'm hoping that Lucy May can perhaps make all here at what should be an each-way price.
Lucy May then for Andrew in that 2:35 at Lingfield on Thursday. If you had to put one of those forward as the more confident selection, what would you go for, Andrew?
I think it'd have to be Lucy May, because we're obviously guessing a bit more with the first one, as she's yet to race on the surface.
And you can hear the entire Lingfield card in addition to the rest of the day's racing on Racing Radio. Do join us throughout the afternoon. The action gets underway at 12:20. That's it for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. So thanks for being with us. Join us again tomorrow for another episode. And Andrew, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks very much, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.